Okay. Afternoon, everyone. Being 4:30, I'll declare the September meeting of the Nanuphshire Council open. I acknowledge the traditional custodians in the land which we're meeting today, the Wadandian Gilman people, paying respects to elders past, present and emerging. Just to remind you that this meeting is being recorded and is available to the public within 14 days. We are all in attendance. We have an apologies, a leave of absence, not an apology, leave of absence from Councillor Hanson. Public question time. It's the time of the meeting where the members of the public can stand at the dais, give their name and address and ask a question of council business. If not, I shall move on. Members of leave of absence applications for leave of absence. There's an approved leave of absence for Councillor Hanson until the 30th of September. Do we have any applications? I don't have any notifications, applications for leave from other councillors. Confirmation of minutes on the 25th of August of the special council meeting on the 25th of August. Kind of movement. That's a true and correct record. Councillor Gibb. Councillor Slight. You want to talk to it, Councillor Gibb?
No, nothing to add other than the recommendation that the minutes from the Shire's now special council meeting held on the 25th of August 25 be confirmed as a true and correct copy.
Councillor Sly?
Nothing to add.
Anyone else? Nothing? Corrections? Okay, I shall put all in favour. Against? Carried. Ordinary council meeting held on the 28th of August. Motion once again that they're a true and correct record. Yes. Councillor Curtis? See, I did that without looking.
Oh, wow, I'm impressed.
Councillor Curtis, Councillor Sly. Councillor Curtis.
Yeah, just that move that the minutes from the Shire of Nanuk Ordinary Council meeting held on 28th August 2025 be confirmed as true and correct as in the copy attachment 5.2, not 5.1, as written in the recommendation.
Okay. 5.2, is that a slight typo? Councillor Sly, you okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. Right. Any other one to speak for or against? If not, all in favour? Against? Carried. I have no announcements as a presiding officer. Disclosures of interest, I've received none at this stage. There are no questions from members, no presentations, and no reports of members attending committees. It's been a slow month. Anyone wanting to report from committees? Councillor Curtis, you want to go? Oh. Do you want anything to report from committees you attended this last 4 weeks?
No.
No? Councillor Fraser?
Yes. On the Tuesday, the 9th of September, me and Councillor Curtis went over to Boyup Brook to Sandakan Memorial Service. It's where 100,000 Allied men became imprisoned into the Japanese into Singapore, and by February 1942, only six survived. And one boy and that local guy by the name of Ted McMillan, he actually fought the council to make memorial service for him, a place for the people that was fallen. And I've just pondered, I was going to had to bite my tongue to find out why Boy Up Brook would not, the council would not support a memorial service place. So that was very moving, and it was me and Councillor Curtis and Charlie and Helen Ferguson, and you might need to go somewhere to talk about to people who sacrificed their life for a cause. That's where you'll need to go, because there was only six to come back. And they two technically came back to you altogether, because Paul died actually over there.
Councillor Brown.
On the 1st of September, I chaired the VFAC AGM and the following general meeting, as did Councillor Fraser. Just like to report that John Packman was re-elected as Chief Bushfire Control Officer, and Mark Scott and Mike Vasey were also re-elected as Deputy bushfire control officers. Generally, only some small changes in the BFAC membership from the previous year. We have Robert Marshall as the Carlotta FCO and Jesse Francis as the Darada FCO. During the general meeting, DBCA reported that they have two proposed burns for the Nanak area. The Yetik burn adjacent to Sears Road near Donnelly Mill will be later in the Donnelly Mill settlement, will be later in this year. And in late autumn, they hope to do a burn off around the Lake Jasper area. The CESM also reported that volunteer brigade members' skills maintenance is a priority for this year. On the 11th of September, along with the CEO, I attended the DFES 2025 bushfire exercise in Perth at the DFES headquarters. It was very interesting. It used NANUP as the case study for the scenario, based on true weather from the 17th of January 2024. Now, this weather was used in predictions on what would happen if we were to have had 5 dry lightning strikes at 3 a.m. in the morning and the preceding 3, 6 and 8 hour scenarios, which was extremely scary and hopefully never happens. but it was good to actually see how that they would address that from the DFS point of view. On the 15th of September, I attended the Domestic Violence Information Workshop, which was organised by LDAG. A very interesting workshop with a number of resources and links provided to participants. It's important to recognise that domestic violence does not only include physical violence, but also financial abuse, intimidation, coercion, gaslighting, emotional abuse and isolation. I hope that that access to these resources shared at the workshop can reach those who are impacted by domestic violence. On the 22nd to 24th of September, I attended the state conference with the theme of Leap Into Legacy, making a lasting positive legacy as local government, making decisions that endure far beyond election cycles. There are a number of very interesting presenters. Futurist Dr. Richard Haynes outlined how local governments could take on the Leap Into Legacy theme through 5 strategies, those being embracing positives, challenging negatives, imagining resilient futures, future-proofing council, and thinking and planning for 7 generations ahead. Other particularly valuable sessions included the Share Services Framework, enabling partnerships between the Shire of Derby, West Kimberley, to be supported through development services by the City of South Perth. Also of interest were local government economic development case studies, Shire of Murray, who purchased the Exchange Hotel, did a project on that, and that was based around economic development, City of Swan Accessible Business Project, and the Shire of Noongarap's Business Leaders Economic Forum Project.
Councillor Swan, detailed all that?
Absolutely. On 18th of September, I attended the Warrnambool Climate Action Group, and we had a very, very interesting presentation from Verge Enviro Pty Limited, who have completed a feasibility study on a recovery facility just outside of Manjimup, which of course is very pleasing for us when we're considering our waste site. I've got the feasibility study here if anybody else wants to sort of have a look at it. Really very interesting, but it's going to need to be funded. Of course, like everything, it's the funding which is key. Watch the space on that one. It will go up to the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils to have a review on it. I also attended the Wildwood Convention and found it very interesting, particularly exhibitions, going around and talking to people. And I also attended last night, on the 24th of September, the Geopark launch and a very interesting discussion on thylacines and why they went extinct on the mainland between 5 and 3,000 years ago.
Councillor Gibb.
Thanks, Mr. President. No, I didn't attend any. I was on leave for that whole period. Thank you.
Similar to Councillor Gibb, I was on leave, approved leave for 10 or 12 days of the period, but I did go to the local government conference that Councillor Brown spoke about, and I hardly endorse her comments. It was worthwhile, and I think we picked up some good ideas. Okay, report of officers, 11.1, age-friendly senior strategy for 25 to 35. There's a recommendation on page 7 for you. Can you move in a second for that, please? Councillor Brown has moved. Councillor Curtis has seconded. Councillor Brown.
At its ordinary meeting on the 27th of February, the Nanupshire Council endorsed the new set of key performance indicators for the CEO, including KPI 10, which tasks the CEO with developing a senior strategy and implementation plan. This initiative aims to support Nanup's ageing population by promoting ageing in place through improved services, infrastructure and social inclusion. Developed through extensive community consultation and analysis, the strategy outlines 30 actionable items across short-term, medium and long-term priorities, focusing on health, housing, transport and community engagement. Separate draft strategy addressing age-friendly housing will be publicly advertised for feedback starting on the 22nd of September. And I encourage our councillors to endorse the age-friendly senior strategy 2025-2023 as included as attachment 11.1.1.
Councillor Curtis.
I just wanted to say that I am looking forward to seeing some of those short-term strategies coming to fruition over the next few months. It will make a difference.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? Councillor Sly.
I don't actually want to speak against endorsing the strategy, because a strategy to me, as I read through it, seems more of an action plan with short-term aims rather than the strategy. I couldn't get to what the intended outcomes or the objective was for the strategy. I can sort of see it should have got some short-term aims, which I agree with Councillor Curtis, they're great aims, but it doesn't seem like a strategy to me. It seems just like an action plan. So I think, from my perspective, we should refer it back to the staffing to sort of actually think about where we're going to get to in 2035. I couldn't see the picture of where we're going to be in 2035.
Okay, you can either do that by part B or I'll leave it with you to think about. Speaking to the motion, one of the things that did come out of the meeting in Perth over the last 2 days, which I did forgot to tell you about, was we had meetings designated, designated lunch meeting, lunchtime meeting with the CEO of the Department of Lands and Planning, we talked about the precinct behind the doctor surgery, the square there, and our strategy was to ask him to some way change the vesting or the ownership of the land that the Department of Housing owns, where the Jandera cottages are, and the result was that he will ask for a meeting to set up a meeting to progress this idea. We provide him with suitable maps and so forth. And off the top of my head, he could see no reason not to start negotiating that, because he could see nothing in his books that they were going to build there over the next number of years anyway. So changing the ownership or the ownership structure of it, we clearly may do something in the long run. So that was good to come out of that. So that's just a segue, because it fits in with this obliquely with the senior strategy. Anyone else want to add anything? Councillor Brown, I'll reply. Okay, well, I shall put it as printed. All those in favour? Against? Councillor Gill, please carry. A strategy, the recommendation on page 10. Move and second it again, please. Councillor Brown. Let's move. I'll second Councillor Dean. Councillor Brown.
At its 27 February ordinary meeting, Council endorsed the key performance indicators for OSCL, including KPI 11 and KPI 13, which was to prepare a 10-year economic development implementation plan. These strategies aim to address housing needs for Nanup's ageing population and guide the Shire's long-term economic direction. Both documents were received and updated following councillor workshops in August 2025 and are now being released for public consultation. The aged friendly housing strategy is currently open for comment with the economic development plan to be advertised on the 30th of September. I encourage other councillors to receive this report, key performance indicator 11 and indicator 14, as read on page 10.
I concur. Anyone else would speak for or against? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Gets carried unanimously. 11.3. Review and repeal certain council policies. There is officer recommendation on page, yes, page 14. Move and a second of that. Councillor Curtis has moved. And Councillor Brown, sorry. I'm way over the fairies today. Councillor Curtis.
The policies shown in attachment 11.3.1 have been reviewed to ensure compliance with legislation, continued alignment with the strategic community plan and the Shire's requirements to provide sound and effective internal controls to minimise risk and deliver desired outcomes. The policies in attachment 11.3.2 are to be considered for repeal as they no longer meet the requirements for compliance or align with the strategic plan, or they are no longer considered necessary. Therefore, I move that Council 1 repeal the following policies shown in attachment 11.3.1. A, community group grants and donations policy adopted on February 24, 2022. B, rates exemption policy adopted 25th of November 2021. C, rates rebates for pensioners policy adopted 20th of December 2011. D, hardship policy adopted 23rd of July 2020. E, councillor fees and reimbursement, and 2, adopt the following policies shown in attachment 11.3.2. A, donations and grants funding policy, and B, deferred grant discounts waiver or write-off debts policy. C, elected member allowances and reimbursements, and 3, and then by absolute majority delegation 1.2.22, defer grant discounts or write-off debts. A, by reducing the threshold for the write-offs or business balances related to rates of services, charge debt from $550 per individual value, and B, insert a condition D to state that decisions are subject to the compliance of the annual approved budget.
Councillor Brown.
Just to add and summarise, the key changes include the amalgamation of the community donations and grant funding policies into a new grants and donations policy to improve transparency and accountability, and the introduction of a draft policy for managing the waiving of write-off debts alongside amendments to the CEO's delegated limits. The elected members' allowances and reimbursement policy has also been updated to align with determinations by the Salaries and Allowances Tribunal and the adopted budget. additionally the three outdated policies of rates exemption, rates rebates for pensioners and the COVID era hardship policy are proposed to be for appeal due to their redundancy under the current legislation and circumstances.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak for or against? I have a request to change one part of one policy, the community grants. If you bear with me, in the policy, it talks of 25,000 community grants. Can I, for an inbuilt mechanism, updating mechanism, can I change that to 1% of rate revenue?
It correlates with.
Yeah, it does. It's 1% of rate revenue this year is 26,800. We're suggesting 25. It's an inbuilt updating mechanism, which we don't have to come back and change the policy. In 2 or 3 years' time, when suddenly there's hyperinflation and 25,000 doesn't mean anything. So my suggestion is, can we change that just to 1% of rates? Which is what a lot of councils try to do in terms of their community grants.
So if you move it, I'd second
that. Okay, so I'll add that as a it's unusual from the chair, but as a point four. That point four is that community grants are indexed at 1% of rates revenue per year. So if that is acceptable to Councillor Curtis and Councillor Brown, it doesn't have to be put as an amendment. So we'll take that as an accepted part of the original motion. Okay, anyone else want to speak for or against the motion?
I'll speak in support of it.
Yep.
Anything that gives policy longevity, I think is good. Saves us having to look over our shoulder about what does need modifying. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against? Carry. 11.4, Council Committees and Working Groups. Two recommendations there, page 19. Move the second of that, please. Councillor Brown, second it. Sure. Councillor Fraser, yes. Councillor Brown.
Just a question, are we moving both those recommendations together?
Yes, you can do it.
Yep, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
At the meeting of 22nd May
2020. Sorry, Councillor Brown, no, I won't. Because one's a simple majority, one's an absolute majority.
Okay.
So you're moving recommendation one at the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. At the meeting of May 22nd, Council resolved to disband four committees, the Australia Day, Risk Management, Sustainability and Tourism, and replace with three with advisory working groups while retaining the audit risk bushfire advisory and the local emergency management committees. Council also directed the CEO to review and develop updated terms of reference for all groups. In response, standard terms of reference templates have been prepared. Committees will remain bound by the Local Government Act while advisory working groups will operate under more flexible structures and appoint their own chairs. Notably, the Australia Day Working Group will still require council ratification for award recipients. That's all I'll say on that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fraser?
Nothing to add.
Anyone else want to speak to officer recommendation one? If not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against? Carried by a simple majority. Recommendation two. Recommend disband the Tourism Advisory Committee. Move in a second, please. Councillor Fraser looked at me. Councillor Brown, Councillor Fraser.
The recommendation too is that we are to disband the tourist advisory working group, which would be interesting because we haven't had a tourist advisory working group for a long, long time now, so we've passed over and we don't need tourism. People have found that up, so it's just a bit of workshopping that we need to get our books in order. So I'll follow councillor's suggestion, forget about being on the tourist advisory committee now because no longer.
Councillor Brandon?
Yeah, just to note that we informally disbanded the tourism committee in 2021, so this is to now formally disband that committee.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, I put it. All those in favour? Unanimous result. I have an officer recommendation on page 24. Councillor Curtis.
Yes.
You have an alternative recommendation?
I do have an
alternative. Can we move that, move and read that alternative recommendation?
Yeah, I would like to move, it's not really an alternative, it's an amendment to the recommendation, I think.
You're not amending one and two? You're not changing the wording in one and two?
No, I'm adding a third.
Yeah, so it's a new motion. Okay. New motion, okay. So which incorporates points one and two, and your third point.
And my third point is that Shire officers conduct research and prepare a report to present to Council for the February 2026 Council meeting that shows how resources can be obtained and expected associated cost involved that would allow the Shire of Nanup to remove the current excluded areas comply with the new amendments for swimming pool safety barriers.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Sly? Yes. Councillor Curtis?
So there have been amendments to the Building Regulations 2012, Part 8, Division 2, in relation to swimming pool safety barrier requirements, which relates to local governments that have areas within their district that are excluded from safety barrier requirements. These amendments came about as a response to a report released by the Ombudsman of Western Australia, which investigated ways to prevent or reduce death of children by drowning. Local governments have the option to either remove excluded areas, which Nanup does have, or make no regulatory change to the pool safety barrier requirements. I was shocked to learn that these exclusion areas existed. I thought all pools spas were required to be fenced and inspected. This is only true for pools within our townsite area and new pool builds. In the Shire of Nanup, the building permit is required for all new private swimming pool spa builds. However, only those located within the townsite are subject to safety barrier inspection requirements. There are 30 pools known to be located outside of the town site and in the exclusion area. The Shire does not currently have the resources to undertake initial and subsequent inspections for pools and spas outside of the town site, and given the new regulations would require all inspections in both town sites and exclusion areas to be completed within 30 days. I would like to see the exclusion areas in Nanup removed and all pools be required to have inspected safety barriers. We have hired external services before to conduct inspections, and I believe you cannot put a price on a child's life. It has also been brought to our attention in other cases presented to Council that once Shire is aware of safety risks, it could be held liable if a death or injury occurs, and the Shire did not act to prevent the known risk. The recommendation for pool barrier inspections to extend to exclusion areas of local government comes from the Ombudsman of WA to prevent death by drowning in children. I would argue that this knowledge fits into the same liability possibility as a previous case we've been presented with at Council, which cited once Shire knows of a problem or a danger, it could be liable for incidents that occur as a result of that problem.
Thank you.
Okay.
No?
No, that's it.
Councillor Stein.
think it's eminently sensible to provide a costing to see how much it will cost the council to look at the excluded areas, so I agree with that in point three.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? Councillor Brown.
Although initially I was going to vote against this recommendation because I believe that no child's life should be put at risk or at stake, and that I also was quite shocked that there were no conditions outside the excluding area as far as safety fencing. I understand point three of the recommendation was designed to move towards the removal of excluded areas by allowing staff time to make relevant changes, and only for that reason am I going to support this recommendation.
Anyone else speak for or against? Okay. Councillor Curtis, you want to write a reply? Okay. So Councillor Curtis has moved a new recommendation which incorporates the Council Officer Recommendation Parts 1 and 2 and a third recommendation. Can you reread that to me, please, so we're voting on what we know we can vote on?
All three?
No, just the third
just
one.
That Shire officers conduct research and prepare a report to present to Council for the February 2026 Council meeting that shows how resources can be obtained and the expected associated costs involved that would allow the Shire of Nanuk to remove the current excluded areas to comply with the new amendments for swimming pool safety barriers.
Thank you. So you're voting on that three-part proposal. I shall put it. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Do you need a copy of that?
We can cut the other recording.
Yeah, we're on the
recording.
Yeah. Right. Okay. 11.6, delegated planning decisions for August 2025. Recommendation on page 27, move in a second, please.
All right.
Councillor Gibb. Second, please. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Gibb.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to support that. The council receives the report on delegated development approval for August 2025 as per attachment 11.6.1.
That's Curtis.
Nothing
to add. Now, so Councillor Fraser.
I just have a question or two. The Gravel Pit efforts, coming up south, we didn't get any submissions. Or not, because there was no submission on the thing.
Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Fraser, for the question. No.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also like to know, for out of the six, we've got another two holiday homes as well. Out of the six, we've still got another two holiday homes, I've noticed.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other to speak for or against the motion? Okay, if not, Councillor Gibb, you want to reply?
Nothing to add.
Okay, I'll put it. All those in favour? Okay. I carry it. 11.7, payment of accounts. Recommendation on page 30. Move and signature. Councillor Sly has moved. Councillor Brown has signed. Councillor Sly.
Simply, the council notes the payment of accounts totaling $592,717 for the period 1st of August to 31st of August 2025 as per attachment 11.7.1.
Councillor Brown.
I wanted to comment about payments to Office Works for stationary items, and I just wanted to say it's important that Shire purchases are made from Nanuk businesses wherever possible to help ensure that local ratepayer funds are reinvested back into our community. It's obvious to me that supporting local suppliers strengthens the local community, sustains jobs and promotes business growth within our Shire. This not only fosters economic resilience, but it also helps build stronger and more connected community where the benefits of Shire expenditure are directly felt by the residents and businesses who contribute to it.
Okay, anyone else want to speak for or against? No quick questions, Councillor Fraser. Very disappointed if you didn't have one.
BFT 18810, Westmead Shed, refund. Just wondering whose shed, where, and was it our shed? Are we making a big shed?
I'll pass that one to the CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you know about that?
I'm just trying to open up about it.
Mr. Dosdell is just going to open up the creditor, which will give us that information.
While he's looking, I thought we actually gave up our unit over at the medical centre. I've noticed we're paying the rent again. Are we taking it back up?
No, that is gone. That has been given up. This might have been the last
payment.
Amount.
And I also noticed there is no payment to 30 Dunnett Road renovations. Has that been all completed now?
I believe that the renovation side of it's all done, and all those payments are made is what I mean by that.
Yeah.
They have still got to install the shed, the storage shed. So that's supplied, but waiting on the rest of it.
So we come in under budget, that's very good.
Yeah, Don Zanelli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just in relation to EFT 18810, it's a refund of a development application fee due to the application being withdrawn.
Now, just want to speak for or against the motion? If not, Councillor Slide, do you want to write a reply?
No.
Okay, be prepared to vote. All those in favour? Yes. Carried. Financial activity statements for July and August. What's the recommendation, page 33? Councillor Sly has moved. Councillor Curtis is second. Councillor Sly.
The financial statements for the period ending 31st July 2025 and the 31st of August of 2025 present the financial performance for the Shire for the 2025-26 financial year and compare year-to-date expenditure and revenue against the corresponding year-to-date budget. So we are considering the completed financial reports as per attachments 11.8.1 and 11.8.2. The attached documents include the statement of financial activity by nature or type, notes of financial statements and an explanation of material variances. The explanation of material variances includes depreciation, which hasn't been processed as yet because we're waiting for the culmination of this year, of the previous year's financial accounts, before we actually then can process depreciation. So that's a fairly substantial adjustment, which we made in the months of July and August. Or my question, I suppose, it wouldn't be made in one go, would it be made in July and August, or would it be in September as one amount? So will you backdate it?
Question to the CEO, Mr. Dolzelli.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Councillor Sly, for that question. Once the annual financial statements for 24-25 are finalised and signed off by the Office of the Auditor General, we will at that point in time raise depreciation, but we'll do it month for month, so that each month has its allocation throughout the year.
Thank you for that,
Councillor Curtis.
Nothing to add.
CEO, pick my. Where are we in the audit cycle for the previous financial year? We're just off starting?
Through the chair?
Yes, sir. Mr. Dolder's up.
Thanks, Mr. President. Yes, we've had our interim audit.
Yep. I think I missed that. Induction?
Yeah. Yeah. We will hopefully sign off the annual financial report tomorrow for it to be submitted to the auditors. It has to be by the 30th of September. And I'm looking for about $1 of misbalance, but I'll find that tomorrow and we'll be ready to go. We have auditors coming in the second week of October, and there's an expectation that late November we'll have sign off.
Anyone else want to speak for or against that? Not, I shall put it. All those in favour? Against? Gary. Motions previous notice have not been given, none, or have been given. Meeting, we don't have to close the meeting because we have no confidential items, but it does lead to the closure of the meeting. Now at 5:12, and I thank the audience for coming.